Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
David Gregory joins us today. He has traveled the world to interview the good and the great on behalf of NBC News, primarily where he spent most of his career. And he has now put out a book. You would think, you know, some folks, you know, are in David's situation, they might put out a book talking about all these anecdotes from, you know, stories from his encounters with all of these prominent politicians and religious leaders and all the rest. And there's a bit of that in here. But this is really special because this is the story of his own spiritual journey. It's called How's Your Faith? An Unlikely Spiritual Journey by David Gregory. And David, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Father. I'm honored to be here.
So the book is titled How's Your Faith? I wonder if you could, first of all, for our listeners who may not know, tell us the story of how you got the title of this book and what it's basically about.
Well, it's really the story of my return to faith as an adult, my return to my Jewish faith, and my attempts to deepen my faith and to tackle the most important questions in my life. Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who is it that I'm trying to become? And for me, ultimately, that story was how answers to those questions could only be found through a pursuit of a relationship with God. And I've been on that path for almost a decade, and it's involved study and prayer and spiritual exploration, and the book does that with prominent Christian, Jewish, even Muslim leaders. As I posed to them the question I've asked myself, which is, how's my faith? And the question of the book, that is the title of the book, was asked by President Bush of me. How's your faith? He asked it numerous times, and it didn't come out of nowhere. He had heard from a mutual friend that I was studying with a Bible teacher and that I was on this path to deepen my faith, and he'd asked me about it in such a direct and penetrating way.
Right.
And I remember I got the job at Meet the Press, and he asked me that, and I shared with him that I was studying, that I was in the Bible, that I thought it could only make me a better husband and a father. I wanted to better connect to my wife's Christian traditions. She grew up in the Methodist Church, and we're an interfaith family. And he shared with me his own path and how a relationship with God is something that had strengthened him, especially during the difficult days of his presidency.
And you recount in the book that this question kind of really, you know, cut to your soul and really caused you to reflect, didn't it?
It did. I mean, no one's ever asked me that question so directly before or since. And I sit with the question a lot because I think, maybe not your listeners as much, but I think lots of us in more secular society are not as comfortable wrestling with that question or talking about our faith openly. And I think it's such an important question because it invites us to examine ourselves and our spirit and whether we are meeting up to the expectations that God has of us and whether we are really being the person who God created us to be. And that was to talk about that with conviction and to believe it and to know it was certainly a change for me. And my wife in particular, in addition to the president's example in that question, you know, in our own interfaith life, we had young kids and I really wanted us to be a Jewish family, and she acquiesced. She wasn't interested in converting, but she asked me something else that was very important, which is, I know what you are. I know you're Jewish. I know you're culturally and ethnically Jewish, but what is it you believe?
Mm.
And that really inspired me to start studying and to go deeper into prayer and exploration.
And now it's a fascinating place because, as you say, I think those struggles that you describe are things so many people think about and struggle with and try to find a framework for that kind of conversation. And not everybody gets the chance to be asked by someone that directly to
right.
do that, especially by the President of the United States. And so you mentioned, you know, you grew up in a Jewish family. You had a Catholic mom, a Jewish dad, and you had sort of this strong cultural Jewish identity, but Your spiritual side was sort of less developed. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about maybe why you did not have any interest in that spiritual side, or if there was something that distracted you, or if there's something that turned you off about religion and spirituality during that time before you started really looking into this more deeply. Because I know a lot of people whose family has sort of fallen away from any faith sort of wonder why they kind of have moved away from it or what they are struggling with.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was really something more particular about being Jewish. I mean, I think I've grown up like a lot of Jews in America grow up, where you are just Jewish. It is a big cultural identity. It is an ethnic identity. You have a sense of family. You have a sense of tradition. You have a sense of peoplehood. I think a lot of American Jews define what it is to be Jewish around Israel. And none of that really worked for me. And I didn't really understand what it meant to be Jewish. And I think in my early 20s, and then as I got deeper onto this path, I felt the kind of spiritual longing that lots of people feel, which is a sense of, okay, what now? What does it mean to live a life of meaning and purpose? And so how do I live as a person of faith with meaning? And if I can't find the meaning for myself, then am I just doing this for my parents or for some other reason? So I think the explanation is that I grew up like a lot of Jews grow up in America, more unaffiliated Jews. By that I mean non-Orthodox Jews, I didn't know very much about the theology, Jewish theology, and even about the traditions. And then beyond that, I'm somebody who's very much on a spiritual path in faith, rooted in my Judaism, but I really like to reach out to other traditions. Especially Christianity, because I think there is a vocabulary and an intimacy about the relationship with God. Part of that is theological. Some of it is just in the vocabulary and the spirit that really moves me and inspires me to seek that same kind of guidance. So I think it's not something that's natural within the Jewish faith to speak intimately about God, to speak about God kind of at all. And sometimes people say, well, you know, what you're pursuing is really Christianity. And I say, no, it is actually deeply Jewish. It's just not how Jews do it.
Right.
Sacred texts,
right,
which we all share, of course, are replete with that intimate seeking of God and seeking to be, to seek God's face, to seek God's relationship.
And, you know, within the American Jewish community, if that is a place where you may not speak in spiritual terms overtly very often because that's not the culture, it's certainly not the culture in journalism, is it? I mean, it's
right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's not stuff you talk about in a newsroom either, right?
No, and I think we should talk more about it. You know, Father, I was just listening to you say something about the Pope's address to Congress and how it provided a moral framework for decision making.
Mm.
And I thought that was interesting because, you know, my interest is I think we could have more of a discussion about faith and politics if we can seek to understand the role that faith plays in a politician's life and learn to fear less the role that faith may play in his or her decision making.
Right.
And, you know, for instance, whereas the church might like the church's view on abortion or marriage to determine how a politician may view same-sex marriage or maybe even how the Supreme Court views it, that's not going to carry the day.
Right.
And yet, we also know that in the Judeo-Christian tradition that we should remember the stranger as ourselves and be kind to the stranger because we were once strangers in the land of Israel, in the land of Egypt, rather. And that we should show compassion. So I think this idea of the moral framework for how to conduct politics, how to engage in argument with respect and compassion and have compassion for people be a guide to how you pursue policy, specifically with regard to immigration, is a lot more in keeping with the morals of this country than the debate we're having about immigration,
right,
in the country.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. You can join the conversation at 888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 888-322-8465. We're talking with David Gregory, who has a new book out called How's Your Faith? An Unlikely Spiritual Journey. And David, it's interesting that you should mention this about the role of faith in public life. I had an opportunity, I was very lucky, you've probably done it several times, but I had an opportunity to interview Vice President Biden last Monday, and he talked about how, I mean, basically his faith is what prompted him to get into public life, and it's why he cared about public life, why he cares about the things that he cares about and the people that he cares about and the causes that he's championed. But it's also not a straightforward exercise. There is that additional step where you have to say, my faith inspires me, but doesn't always dictate the outcome or the public policy choice that I make or that I advocate. And and I thought that's a really interesting way of kind of getting into the conversation, because it is a conversation that makes some people nervous, isn't it?
Well, but more than making people nervous, it's also the very structure of our country.
Yeah.
So, you know, that Kentucky clerk, Kim Davis, and I don't know, have you seen confirmation that she met with the Pope? Do you know that to be a fact?
I have not received personal confirmation of that,
okay.
But I've read
it.
I
don't know if the Vatican has confirmed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I must say, of all the Pope's gestures, I thought that one to be a fairly provocative one, despite his feelings and the Church's feelings about same-sex marriage.
I'm not convinced
America,
we know the whole story there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she is the government.
Yeah.
So it's immaterial whether her religious views dictate that she doesn't want to do that. She's in the government, and the law says you have to issue the licenses. And there's a reason why we have separation of church and state. So that's America.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
And I can respect her religiously. I mean, whether I agree with it or not, I can respect her religious views. But I felt, you know, that's a place where it's kind of what the vice president's saying. It's not his place. He may be inspired, but it's not his place to dictate, with decision-making what he does. Now, you know, do presidents make decisions about their views on abortion in terms of selecting Supreme Court justices? You know, they never say so outright, but there's ideology certainly plays a role in that, and putting a moral framework on that can. But I'm interested in the inspiration,
right?
Because inspiration goes to who you are.
Right.
How do you make decisions? How has faith touched you in your life? How do you seek the common good? How does a sense of, you, as you said it, Father, I mean, how does the moral framework impact not only how you'll deal with others, but how you might steer policy for the common good? I mean, I think those are relevant questions that don't always have to get us into the realm of deeply polarized social policy, which is why I think so many in journalism are wary of the role of faith, because they think it gets into that you somehow check your rational thinking at the door.
Right, right.
Now, when you were speaking with the religious leaders that you spoke with for your book, How's Your Faith, did you talk to them about this conflict on their side, sort of how much they wanted to be involved in that political discussion, how much they wanted to be seen as solely spiritual leaders?
No, but it's a great question, and I actually, maybe it's an area for further exploration, because I'd like to do more of it. You know, my experience with Cardinal Dolan is such that I've interviewed him a couple of times when I was at Meet the Press, and I enjoyed those interviews, but I have to confess that what was more interesting was what happened when the camera was off, because that's when I could really ask him my seeker questions.
Right.
And,
That's right.
And he joked to me, he's like, let's get the water in here. We think Gregory might be close to conversion. The truth is that I in the book, I talked to Cardinal Dolan about seeking God. And that conversation was deeply meaningful to me, and I write about it in the book. When I interviewed him on Meet the Press, you know, he certainly talked about staking out ground in some of these areas that are important. But I think that, you know, that this idea that we have to have a huge wall in between. I mean, I think, you know, the church can advocate, it can oppose the death penalty, and it can advocate, for against changes to marriage laws and so forth. And again, it can pursue that and stake out that moral ground. But I am very much interested in our faith leaders helping me as a seeker and an individual, helping me know how to live.
Right.
You know, and I love that part of the Psalms, which is, you know, show me, God, how to live and how to walk in your ways. That's what I find so inspirational, these affairs of the heart, to try to grow into who I am and who I'm trying to become in my own spiritual growth, in my spiritual life. to try to grow in spirit. And I think, you know, somebody like a Cardinal Dolan and others that I interview are very interested in that, and they have tremendous ability to guide people that way.
You know, and it seems to me that it was a fascinating opportunity for you to speak with these different faith leaders like Reverend Osteen and Cardinal Dolan, and and what were the commonalities or you know, the themes that people from all of these different traditions, like, you know, what was it that they had in common?
That the search is not an affair of the head, it's a matter of the heart. And, you know, Judaism is a lot about law and about the law that God gives the Jews and about entering into covenant with God to seek to better the world. And so the work of our hands in the world becomes very important and in some ways, you know, more important than faith itself, although I would argue that that's, you know, still core to Judaism. But I remember Cardinal Dolan saying to me, he said, you know, the mistake you can make in a search, a faith search like this, is that it can become a project.
Right.
He said, when what it really is it's an act of love.
Right.
It's a dare.
Right.
Joel Osteen said to me how important it was to have a heart for God.
Right.
And to open your heart to let God in a little bit more. So I think that's what's really touched me, that... and of course, from Deuteronomy, we know we talk about circumcising the heart, to aerate the heart, to
right.
let a hole in, to more experience and to feel God's love. And I think that's what I've taken away from those conversations.
Right. I think that question that you've asked of how do I open my heart fully and forge a relationship with God that you put down in the book is such a moving way to put that. And I imagine that it also allows you to open up your heart to the people around you and your friends and your family. So I wonder if you could talk a bit about how your relationship with your wife or your children or your friends changed as you embarked on this journey.
Well, you know, I think, you know, this path for me, along with some setbacks I've had, losing my job at NBC, has helped me. The search for humility and the path of humility and the spiritual journey is not always easily done in a profession like television news.
You know? Sure, right, right.
Great for your spiritual journey.
Right. But and it's impossible to do it anonymously, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a certain sense.
But also, but just, you know, being humbled is something that I think has helped me try at least to quiet myself, to understand that my life is smaller than God's wonders, and to understand that I fail daily. I fail sometimes in faith. Sometimes it's just hard. But I fail to live up to my own standards daily or to God's standards, and that God is still there. And so I think that part of just opening myself up to know that, you know, I may be struggling a little bit, but I do trust in God that it's going to be okay, that has, I think, opened up my relationships, both, you know, at home with my family, with my wife and my kids and with other people, to try to be a little bit more present and a little bit more aware of myself and again, not try to be led by my ego or a sense of insecurity. So I hope it's started to affect my personal relationships in that way and given me the reason to pause in the course of life. I mean, I think the big thing about this is that I am not, you know, seeking to live a monastic life.
Right, right, right.
You know, and, I, you know, my teacher has always taught me about, look, you have a work life, you have a home life, you have this inner life you're trying to cultivate. It's all one life. It's how you bring all of these things into the messiness of your day.
Right.
That is the spiritual test. And, you know, so I'm trying to promote a book. So rather than pay attention, you know, I'm trying not to pay attention to reviews and sales and things like that because, you know, that's not the point of all of this. And that's where the spiritual test lies. Not always easy, right? I
right.
still get, you know, have a reaction to that. But that's what I'm trying to do.
I remember Rabbi Harold Kushner once saying that faith gives us eyes with which to see the world, right?
Mm.
And you, I think when you look at your world through the eyes of faith, you see that it's not so easily compartmentalized, right? It's not so easy to say, well, that's my professional life, and this is my personal life, and this is my spiritual life.
Yeah.
There are ways in which, you know, there are intersections here, and it seems, and that can get kind of messy, and so, but it's faith that kind of keeps you centered in the midst of that mess, right?
it keeps you centered and keeps you steadied. And, you know, like Psalm 16 says, you know, I keep God before me always. You know, with him at right hand, you know, I'll never be shaken. Well, sometimes I am shaken. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always work. I've got to work at it harder.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that it is. It's the lens through which I'm trying to see my entire life and hoping that that's what guides me in how I interact with people and how I pursue my own vocation in the world. And again, how I get closer to who I'm trying to become. There's a wonderful pastor who I talked to in my book, Ginger Gaines Cirilli, who's a Methodist and at the Foundry Methodist Church here in Washington. And she talks about how we're all in transition, you know, from who we are to who we are becoming. And it's this, you know, I really think about that. Like, who am I becoming? I'm hoping I'm not standing still. I'm always in transition and trying to become better. Faith helps me with that. You know, God inspires me to do that. Again, I bring it back to the Pope, too. That's what I love about his voice of conscience and his model for the world,
right?
To aspire to,
right?
And so it works for me, and I'm trying to work the path as well as I can.
And that is something that he comes back to time and again, which you've touched on and talk about in this book, is that, you know, faith, God, these aren't ultimately not ideas, right? But they're people, they're personal, and they touch upon the heart. Well, the book is How's Your Faith? An Unlikely Spiritual Journey by David Gregory. David, thank you so much for being with us, and congratulations on the book, and good luck with your continuing journey.
Thank you. I really appreciate your interest in it, and I appreciate the conversation.
Of course. You bet.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.